current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's Word as signs of the times.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome in to Signs of the Times. It's our weekly look at Bible prophecy in the world's news for Friday, April 3rd, 2020. Along with Pastor Mark Kirk, I'm Greg Hill. Thanks for spending the next hour or so with us as we dive into news headlines and things happening around the world that the Bible said was going to happen in the latter days. This is episode 119 for anyone listening to the podcast on Apple, Google, iHeartRadio, or Spotify. We thank you for subscribing to the podcast so you can get Signs of the Times anytime. Pastor Mark, it is beautiful outside where we're at in Knoxville. You would never know that we are in a global pandemic.
That's right. And I think I have some great words of encouragement today, too.
Okay, but
yes,
great.
It is a great day outside, and I think there's great days coming. And I'm excited to encourage the flock.
Absolutely. And, you know, and we've talked about this off air, and we've talked about this as a staff. And one of the saddening consequences to all of this is, first of all, the deaths that have come from it. Second of all, and maybe people aren't recognizing this or know about it, is the increase in suicides.
Yeah.
Because people that don't have Jesus Christ, they don't have hope.
Yeah.
All the more reason that we have to extend grace and we have to become evangelists in whatever safe distance, social distancing capacity that we can with people. Because I think sometimes we can take for granted our relationship with the Lord and the hope that we have and not realize that there are some people that don't have this hope. There are some people that don't have a peace that passes understanding in the midst of this hurricane.
Yeah.
You know, he puts his kids in the eye of the hurricane.
Yeah.
Where it's peaceful and calm.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. We don't think about it that way. But since the market dropped from where it was and then people in despair with what's happening with this, it's amazing the number of people that die and, you know, commit suicide. And that's why President Trump had said earlier, you know, you don't want the cure to be worse than the problem.
Right.
And
yeah.
If it goes too long, then actually you have more deaths from suicides than you would even from the coronavirus.
Exactly.
So at some point we have to open up the markets and get going again. And I believe, Greg, it's sooner than people think. I think definitely by the 1st of May, and I think maybe the third week in April, I wouldn't be surprised to see things start opening back up. And there's a number of reasons for that. And I don't know whether or not this is maybe a good moment to kind of share some just encouraging words to our listeners. I don't know where you were going with that.
I was going to go into our main topic.
Before we go into the main topic, let me just kind of encourage our listeners out there, because I suddenly just felt this on my heart to encourage you guys. You know, I when I look at what's happening right now, and I look at the contractions and the way the Bible says things are going to be in the last days, I don't think this is going to last a tremendous amount longer. I may be wrong on that, but I get the sense that we're coming up on the close of this for sure by the end of April. As far as the coronavirus may still be out there, don't get me wrong, but as far as ways to treat it, as far as the number of people that have it and can now go back to work, I think you're going to see things begin to go back to normal, because the Bible talks about in Thessalonians that right now the Holy Spirit is restraining the move of the Antichrist. He's restraining the move of this one world system coming together. So I think you're seeing the headwinds of trying to get the one world government, trying to get the world to unite, trying to get panic in nations, and all these things are happening. Nations are behind the scenes right now. They're linking up, and you're seeing the stage being set for all these things that are going to be happening. But I don't think we're quite there yet. I think this is a big contraction. It's a big shocker. I think you're going to see right now the enemy's being restrained. I think America is going to go back to fairly normal for a short amount of time till the next major wave, and who knows how quickly it's going to move after that. But I really believe that things are simply being restrained. There's lots of positive information out there right now. This whole malaria medication, Greg, is mixed with some antibiotics is having a great effect in stopping people from going into the throes of death, so to speak. And again, you're seeing things move very rapidly. I want to encourage our listeners. I don't think this is going to be forever. I know it feels like it right now, but hang in there a little bit longer. And I believe that you're going to see a great move of God's Spirit and God's work here in the days we're living.
You know, another interesting thing that's come out of this, and I know some of the articles are going to talk about the positive responses that have come out of this, but maybe in your own life you've seen the people respond shaking their fists,
yeah,
or people responding in repentance. And this pandemic is just a small, minuscule snapshot,
yeah,
of how society is going to respond when the plagues of the Great Tribulation happen.
Yeah.
Because you're going to see people in society, and the Bible says this, are going to shake their fists at God.
Yeah.
And you're going to hopefully see some, as the intention of that,
yeah,
is that they will recognize God in the midst of it, because it will be undeniable. This is the Lord's wrath that's coming.
Right.
Upon the earth is a judgment, and some will, but most, the Bible says, during that time, are going to be shaking their fists at God in defiance, in spite of the fact that he's clearly showing himself to those people.
And again, that just shows how hard the heart can get.
Yes.
You know, Greg, you think about this right now. When the Great Tribulation hits, think about the fear right now there is, and the panic and the concern, and even the problems worldwide. This is nothing.
Yeah.
This is nothing. I mean, I heard someone say today, and I have to agree with this. They said, when the Great Tribulation hits, these will be the good old days.
Oh, wow.
These will be the good old days.
That's a good way to
look at
that.
Can you remember how wonderful it was when all we had was Corona and we had to stay in our home? What a great time that was in America.
Yeah.
Compared to what they're about to experience.
Yeah.
Because the Bible says it will be worse than anything the world has ever seen. Now, we're not going to see that till after the rapture. We'll be gone.
Yeah.
And that'll take place. But again, it's going to be really difficult. But let's go ahead and talk about now. Let's get into what we're looking at today as far as the, and I don't know if you had any intro article there. If you want me to just jump into what you had.
This will kind of lead, basically the theme, I guess, that Pastor Mark has on his heart is really just the one world government and certain components that are going to come out of the one world government. And these articles really kind of talk about it. And the first one here is from AP News. This is article number 4, Pastor Mark.
Okay, got it.
Countries crack down on basic rights amid the virus pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah, let me read some of this. Listen to what it says here. Soldiers patrol the streets with their fingers on machine gun triggers. The Army Guards and Exhibition Center turned makeshift hospital crowded with rows of bunks for those infected with the coronavirus. And Serbia's president warns residents that Belgrade graveyards won't be big enough to bury the dead if people ignore the government's lockdown orders. In other words, obey our orders or we'll kill you all so that everybody doesn't die. Let's go on. Since the president announced an open-ended state of emergency on March 15th, the parliament has been sidelined, border shut, 12-hour police enforced curfew imposed on people over 65, banned from leaving their homes. Some of Europe's strictest measures to combat the COVID pandemic. He issues orders which are automatically accepted by the government, they say. There's no checks and balances. People are worried that there's too much power here, Greg, too much being given over to the leaders. Since in ex-communist Eastern Europe and elsewhere, populist leaders are introducing harsh measures, including uncontrolled cell phone surveillance of the citizens and lengthy jail sentences for those who flout lockdown decrees or spread false information. Now, before we get into the other two articles, let me kind of lay the foundation of what I want to talk about here for a minute before we get to the first half break, and that is the mark of the beast. This is something that right now we try to focus on things that are being pushed to the forefront. This one is being pushed to the forefront right now. And the Bible says in Revelation 13 that the Antichrist, when he comes on the scene, he will force everyone, small and great, to take a mark, either on their hand or their forehead. And it talks about how they won't be able to buy or sell, or you won't be able to move. Everything, all your movements will be monitored. We know that now because of technology, although we didn't know that
then. We didn't know that, even 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah, really. And it didn't talk about that, but we know that'll be the case. And as far as controlling what people buy and sell, which is interesting in a lot of this whole pandemic, because people buying more than they should and hoarding things and gloves and masks and toilet paper and all that kind of stuff. So you could actually control what people could buy. If you went to the store and tried to buy more toilet paper, they would stop you and say, you know what, you got 25, cases at your house. No, you can't buy any more. Let the next guy who has none buy some. But people hoard because they're by nature fearful. And so there's lots of ways this could be used. But my point is, that's what the ultimate is going to happen. Now, when's that going to happen? I don't believe that's going to happen until we get to the 3.5 year point in the Great Tribulation. I believe that's when everyone will be forced to take the mark. But you brought up a good point, Greg, as we were starting, which I tend to agree with. And I think the mark will be introduced at the beginning of the Antichrist reign. At least it will be known and probably talked about, maybe even encouraged if some want to take it. But you know, because, hey, this could be a good thing, then everybody will be made to take it when the Great Tribulation kicks in and all these major plagues and all these great major world events begin to happen like never before. Because as you can see, even now, when people fear for their lives, they're willing to give up their liberties. They're willing to give up their freedoms. And we're seeing people laying down their constitution, their freedoms, their right. And we all hope it goes back to normal. And that's what I still believe will happen to some degree. But you can see how people in fear, how they do that. Yeah. So I think the real mark is going to be done then. As we talked about on Tuesday in our special live streaming show and radio show, it'll be something that'll be very evident to all. It won't be something that's a surprise. And you'll know you're taking it, and you'll know it's wrong if you're doing it. But right now, the technology is being put in place, and Greg, already it's being encouraged. As we mentioned last week about Bill Gates and his ID 2020 proposition that he's doing right now. And here's how this works. Bottom line is, what's happening is, he says, hey, look, a large portion of the world right now is in no database. They're not kept up with. They're not logged. We have no way to know what they're doing.
Yes.
And he's saying, how are we going to take care of all the needs of the world if we don't know who's in the world? That's the general principle behind it. But since this coronavirus, he said, you know, really what we need to do is develop a vaccine, give everyone a vaccine, and with the vaccine, give them a tattoo. It's a mark. It actually goes under the skin.
Mm-hmm.
Where the shot is given, so we can monitor everyone that has either had a shot for corona or has not had it. We can let people go to work or not go to work. We can quarantine people. I mean, the idea behind it sounds wonderful, but Greg, it's the introduction of getting used to letting government officials inject you with a mark or a chip or a tattoo that has data possibilities, which is going to be the technology of the mark of the beast.
Yeah, you become property. Let me ask you a question, because when we hear about articles like this and we see push for that technology that we know to be the mark of the beast, this comes to my mind. Beware when they say peace and safety. Now, where am I hearing that from? Is that a scripture verse?
And yes, it is.
Okay, and then if it is, am I applying it correctly? Because
yeah.
I don't, am I?
Yeah, it's, no, it's, here's what it says.
Okay.
It says, and I'll read it in a second.
Okay.
It says, when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction will come upon them. So it's not saying that they're just trying to say peace and safety to trick everybody, but what they're saying is it appears that the world's deceived, and while the world is saying, and probably the Antichrist purposefully doing this, and world leaders saying peace and safety, some deceived, maybe some knowingly, then suddenly everybody's going to think we're finally safe, everything's okay,
right?
And then sudden destruction. That probably has to do with, you know, there's two possibilities. It could be before the rapture. And people saying that, and then sudden destruction, you know, and things happen that get us out of here in the time of sorrows, which I believe
right.
we're in now, Matthew 24, and or the great destruction at the midway point of the great, you know, of the tribulation
yeah.
period time, if you will. And it says it's just going to come upon everybody suddenly. And so probably that's what we're talking about when we say that. But yeah, that's what they're talking about.
This pandemic is also really kind of, and I want to be careful how I say this, let me put it this way. It's helping people get off the fence.
No doubt.
If people have been on the fence about their life as it relates to eternity, and is there a God, and if there is, who is he, and yeah. all of those things that people say, this is definitely, because you're going to see people that are so scared that will give up their rights and their freedom
yeah.
to save their life. And what, and now is this another good application of the word, Pastor Mark? Because wasn't it Jesus that said those who, when it comes to your life, and I'm blanking on the scripture verse.
You want to save your own life? Is that
yes,
what I'm trying
yes,
to?
Yes, yes.
He who would save his life will lose it, and he will lose his life for my sake will
yes.
save it into eternal life?
Yes.
Yeah, that's just basically talking about living for yourself. If you try to live for yourself, then you're going to die. If you live for
yeah.
Christ and give your life away, you'll live, in that sense, of spiritual.
Okay. Is that a good application in this sense? Because I know you've talked on this show before here recently within the last couple of weeks that if, perchance, this tattoo or this thing that would be a part of being able to say if you've had the vaccine for the coronavirus,
right.
that if that were to happen, that would not be the mark.
No, I do not believe that's the mark, Greg, at all. The mark, I want to just say again, I think it's going to be something. Here's the thing. The mark is so serious that if you take it, you immediately are eternally condemned.
Right.
Now, if that's the case, I guarantee you, God will make it so crystal clear to every person on the planet what they're doing. And I go back to the plagues of Egypt. Before he sent the death angel in Egypt in the final plague of all the children of Israel there, he proved himself by all the other plagues. They all knew. Everyone knew what was coming. Moses warned them. The whole nation realized this is it. If we don't put the blood on our home and get in the home, our firstborn is going to die. Nobody had a question about that. Then God sent it. You're going to see the same thing in the last day's plagues, like the plagues of Egypt. The wrath of God will be the plagues of the last days. It's like a repeat of that. They're going to know. We're going to know. And yes, it is not the mark. So there's a long answer, but there's your answer.
Okay, great.
Now let me get back to it real quick. I want to read the verse you gave.
Yes.
I'm staying focused here.
Yes.
For when they say peace and safety, this is 1 Thessalonians 5:3. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman.
Mm.
So that whole picture of the last days, labor pains that Jesus talked about. And again, it goes right in line with the second article, which I'm sure you're going to introduce, the coronavirus social distancing. Is that one? Number seven.
This is from USA Today. And I just want to interject this right now, especially if we've got new listeners. On our website at thescience.org, with every episode that we post, we also post a link to these articles that we're discussing.
Good.
So you can read them for yourself. Anyway, this article is from usatoday.com. This is dated March 25th, a few days old. Coronavirus social distancing smartphone data shows if the U.S. is doing well or not.
Yeah, staying on that focus of the mark. Listen to what it says. Health officials begged Americans to practice social distancing. Many states and cities issued the order. It says, but not everyone's listening. Now a tech company is using smartphone data to see where people are taking these instructions seriously and where they're not. Unicast, a Norwegian company which collects and analyzes location data from various sources, released a study ranking all 50 states and the District of Columbia on a social distancing scoreboard. The company tracked the change in average distance traveled using smartphone data and scored each county by how the residents did. Now notice this. Overall, the study found since February 28th, Americans have reduced their mobility by nearly 40%. D.C. topped the list, reducing its average mobility by 60%.
There's so much traffic there you can't move, but anyway.
Yeah. And by 60%, and it goes on, names the other places. And the bottom line is, it says, if you have, and I'll quote, if you have all the location data from a phone, you can see whether people are following the suggested shelter in place, said Alex Hammerstone, a privacy and security risk manager. If the government says everybody should stay at home, but based on location data, half the phones are moving all around, the suggestions could then be made mandates. Health officials hope the tracking data nationwide will allow for predictions on the likelihood of outbreaks in given areas, enabling officials to deploy aid. Now, here's the thing. Remember, there has to be something that happens so drastic in America that we'd be willing to unite our government with everyone else's, that it likewise, there has to be something so drastic in America with Americans to make us willing to lay down our liberties so we can be tracked, so we can be marked. And this is the beginning of it. Who would have ever thought? And Greg, as we mentioned before, last week, I believe it was, who would have thought it would be a worldwide pandemic that would get people thinking that way? But I thought of something else. Satan said this, let me at Job. A man will do anything to save his flesh, to save his life.
Yes.
And see, Satan knows the nature of mankind. Now, he fell with Job because Job cared more about God than he did his own flesh, which is where we're supposed to be as believers. And most believers are. But here's the bottom line, unless you're walking in the flesh. But here's the bottom line. The world's not going to be that way, which means he knows, Satan knows, if the world is threatened by death, they'll do whatever they need to do to stay alive. I wonder if Satan didn't go to the Father and say, hey, even as you let me at Job, would you let me at the world? Let me at the world. I'll show you. You let me go at their flesh. They'll be willing to lay down their liberties and do whatever, because God knows what Satan's doing to get the world to follow him. Satan knows what God's doing. Everybody knows. It's not a secret in heaven. God's going to allow it to happen. And you wonder, is this a request of Satan to bring this plague, to bring this in, so that he can begin to align everybody to get in the position he needs to be to take the world over, because he knows we'll give up our liberties. He knows we will bow and follow. If it's bow down and live or stand and die, most people will bow down and live. It's only the believer and the stubborn who will stand up and die. Satan knows that.
Now, this next article really fits well with that whole aspect of, wow, what's it going to take for people to lay down their liberties? And this article here is from Reuters. European experts ready smartphone technology to help halt in the various things. But
yes,
there's one paragraph in particular that fits exactly with what we're talking about.
Okay.
And that is the smartphone technology, or a mark, or what you talked about, Bill Gates wanting to inject us with some sort of
They call it a tattoo, believe it or not, but it's a digital tattoo that you can read with a smartphone.
That says you've had the corona shot, the vaccine.
Yes.
All right, now here it is. The ability to track down those at risk of infection more accurately could help avoid having a lockdown to entire societies with the resulting hugely damaging economic impact.
There you go.
That alone,
there you go.
Right there, will get most people to say, you want to know what? I need to work. I need to eat.
Yeah.
Give me the tattoo.
Yeah. And see, so there you go. What I'm saying.
But there's more to the article, but that really stands out to what we're talking about.
When you work that into the mark of the beast, let me read a little bit more the beginning of it. A group of European experts said on Wednesday they would soon launch technology for smartphones to help trace people who had come in contact with those infected with coronavirus, helping the health authorities act swiftly to halt the spread. The initiative involves gathering data via smartphones to show who a person is with. Who a person with the virus had come in close contact with, so that those people could be contacted. So if they get somebody that's got it, say, give me all your contacts.
It's like Facebook knowing, hey, you're a friend of this friend. Hey, do you want to be this person's friend too? I mean, that's how it works.
It really is. It's like, you know, it's like plague book.
plague book.
Okay,
you know what?
So they're wanting to put together a plague book, the European initiative called Pan-European Privacy Preservation Proximity Tracing.
That's a lot of P's.
PEP.
Okay.
So if you want more pep in your step, you want more government in your house, then you want to sign up for this PEPP. They follow the successful use of smartphones in some Asian countries to track the spread of the virus and enforce quarantine orders, although their methods would have violated the EU's data protection rules. Here's what's happening. Look at this. What they're saying is our EU data rules won't let you do that. But because of privacy. But because of this, now you can. In America, hey, the Constitution, nobody can say stay at home. The Constitution says you can't tell people to stay at home. Now, there is a provision in there that talks about under certain emergencies. I want to be careful on that because I'm not a constitutional expert. There is something that talks about when it comes to life and limb type thing. There's something that you could apply to that.
Okay.
But the bottom line is we are laying down our rights, laying down our liberties, all these things. Satan knows this. God is either doing it to bring the world to himself or allowing Satan to do it. That's why I believe it's more than just a fallen world. This is worldwide. Listen, there's a big spiritual event going on that either God has done
globally,
or the enemy has done. And it is a restructuring of the world. It is getting us prepared for the one world government. And I just want to remind us and getting ready for the mark. You know, when that happens, it's the mental thing. But here's what's amazing. The Bible says when you see these things begin to happen, look up. You know, now's the time to be watching for the rapture. Don't think, oh, yeah, we're 3.5 years away. We're this. No, you don't understand. This is stuff that's after the rapture. This is like now's the time. You know, this Sunday we're going to be looking at preparing the way. And we're talking about, of course, we're going to be looking at Palm Sunday where the Lord rode in, but we're going to also be going to Isaiah 40, which is an Old Testament passage of that. And the fact that John the Baptist came and prepared the way. Here's what John did. John showed up, Greg, and he said, hey, listen, everybody, he's coming any minute. Get ready. Deal with your sin. Deal with your issues. Get your life in order. And he said, because we don't know. Suddenly the Lord showed up. Those that were ready recognized him and followed him. Those that weren't ready did not. Now, the difference is those that weren't ready weren't immediately affected. They were able to continue to live and to stay on the world as it was. But those who knew the Lord followed him and got away from the world. Likewise, when the rapture takes place, we're going to follow the Lord. We have no choice. We're out of here. The world's going to go on about their business, not even recognizing what has happened. But now here's the real big difference. The consequences of those who miss the rapture, going through the great tribulation is bad enough, even if you get saved. But if you don't give your life to the Lord, eternal judgment and separation from God. This is a time to sound the alarm. Now's when we're looking up. Don't be waiting for some other event. When I say we're going to go back to normal to some degree, I believe that. Here's my prediction. My prediction is this. We'll see if I'm right. I think within a month we're back to normal as far as what we can be, generally. I could be wrong on that. I think President Trump will be reelected by a large margin. And we'll have another 4 years or so of kind of the direction of kind of holding back the move of the Antichrist. I think after that, who knows? I think the doors swing wide open. I think that everybody's going to say, okay, we've had conservative approach long enough. Let's go to the liberal side. I'm telling you, the liberal side right now, they are ready to sign up with this whole one world conglomerate. They are ready to pull the trigger now. And it's only, I believe, God holding that back or it would happen now. And again, this whole socialistic mindset, Greg, that we see the world going toward, we see America going toward, that is what the Antichrist is going to do. It's going to be this somebody that comes in and takes care of everybody and distributes everything evenly. And I think it even has something to do with the can't buy or sell with the mark, because everything will be monitored and it'll be doled out by the government. So this is something that, again, I believe we have a short amount of time left with the America as we know it. We as Christians need to take advantage, and we need to be looking up, for the day draws near.
Now, you mentioned John the Baptist, and I don't know what the economics were during his time. But the governance during the time of John the Baptist was a one-world government.
It was. Rome was ruling the world, and we have the revived Roman Empire at the very end.
Right. So there was a one-world government established prior to Jesus' first arrival,
right,
showing up as a Savior.
Yes.
And there will be a one-world government already in place again for his second coming.
Absolutely. And let me wrap something up.
And that's not by coincidence either.
No, Greg, that's awesome to bring up, because what you're seeing is what I always call both legs of Daniel's vision there.
Yes.
You know, both legs. You have the first leg of Roman Empire, the second leg of the Roman Empire, both right there. But also, I want everybody to recognize this. Don't leave this out. Whenever you think of the one world empire, Rome revived, also remember Babylon. Babylon is just
huge,
and here's why.
Yeah.
In Babylon, when the flood came, and those that survived, it says the whole world conglomerated at Babylon, or the majority of the world. They all had one language, one government, one mindset, and they were trying to establish this one kingdom at that time, which the Antichrist would have come in and ruled had God let that happen. Satan would have taken over then. But God said, no, I'm restraining. It's not time. What do you do? Boom, he came down. He confused the languages. Everybody spread around the world. Now here's what's happening. Now Satan's trying it again. I'm going to regather. Let's see if it works this time. Babylon, number two. This is second round
Babylon, take two.
Even as Rome's second round.
Yeah.
He's gathering the world once again, Greg, to this one world economy, one world government, and again, even in Babylon, they were all trying to build the God that they created to the heavens. They're going to build one God to the heavens. The Antichrist will sit over it. They wanted their own leader sitting over it. And so this, look for the Babylon number two to be revived. Look at Rome number two to be revived.
And we don't really know where that Babylon is, if it's a theoretical Babylon, is a structure,
right now,
or is it
speaking,
a physical place?
Yeah, right now I'm speaking just world system.
Okay.
There's
world
two
system.
Ways. There's two.
Okay.
There's world system and there's a literal place.
Okay.
I'm speaking world system, Babylon 1, Babylon 2, world system, Rome 1, Rome 2. These need to be put together. Don't leave these out. They all come together hand in hand. As far as the actual Babylon itself, the city of Babylon, different theories on that. It may actually be the Vatican, which is called Vatican City, and it's its own country. That's a whole nother discussion. Some believe it's America. Some believe it's going to actually be rebuilt somewhere else. We will find out. But the bottom line is, now's the time to be looking up. I want our listeners out there to be encouraged. Don't lose heart. I believe this thing's about to pass. I believe we're going to see things go back to fairly normal, although there's going to be major changes. This world structure change is going underway. But I also believe that you, if you believe in Jesus Christ and know him, will be taken out of here before that happens, full throttle. And so let's be about our Father's business. We need to be sharing the gospel every opportunity that we have. And don't just get lazy now. If things go back to normal, let's stay focused on the things of the Lord and really really use this time wisely. It's a great time to be aggressive for Jesus in a good way.
Yeah. And, you know, it's also good to remember that the early church was homebound. You know, the early church met in homes.
Yeah.
Even though we can't go to each other's homes. But, you know, the church can start with your family.
Yeah.
You know, this is an opportunity for people, too, to really just reconnect into a quiet time with the Lord.
Yeah.
Because there's not a whole lot to distract you, really, as long as you turn off the TV.
And now with internet. We have church in the home.
Yeah, you got church in the
church
home
in
now.
The home,
so, and
the word
we're coming
being taught,
into homes.
Worship in the home.
Yes.
How long has it been? Maybe for some of you, going, you know what? This has been great for my family, because now we've got worship in our
Absolutely.
Home, the word. And you know, maybe you were even convicted. I wasn't doing it myself, but you know what? God's forced me to. Then praise the Lord. Don't grieve over that. Be excited now that it's there. And just be sure and be watching services, streaming them, be involved, and let that worship come into your home.
You know, you mentioned Job earlier, Pastor Mark, and let's remember the end of the story of Job. Job's faithfulness to overcome every attack of the enemy was met with God ending up blessing him more than what he started with before. So whatever that means for you, whatever you're sacrificing to keep your eyes on the Lord and not on the things of the world, God is going to bless you for it.
Amen.
All right. We've got more articles to get to, so don't go anywhere as Signs of the Times continues right here on WIAM.
W. WIAMLP.
101.1 FM, Knoxville.
This is crazy. Any biblical advice for a financial crisis? Today, a special edition on your financial questions since the coronavirus. I'm Chuck Bentley with My Money Life from Crown. Every crisis is a golden opportunity to be salt and light. First priority, double down on giving. Many family members, friends, and organizations are being impacted. We need to have an unprecedented outpouring of generosity. Give money, time, and help to those closest to you first, then working outward. This is a problem bigger than a hurricane or earthquake or flood. It's global. Let's be radical in our giving. Second, help our local churches and ministries. When services are shut down, giving is severely impacted. Be sure your church or vital ministry is financially whole. Remember this radio station as well. They're an effective and efficient way to reach people for such a time as this. Third, support local businesses. One church is helping local restaurants by nominating one each day for the congregation to order some takeout meals for themselves and for shut-ins. Think about those in the hospitality, travel, conference, or tourism industries. Pray for them and look for ways to help those you know. Fourth, watch for financial assistance programs. The IRS moved the filing date to July 15th. The government will be announcing new programs soon. Some banks are offering access to your CD accounts without penalties. We will track these and more for you. Now, we have the greatest assets we could ever need. Faith, hope, and love. Spread those around virally. We're all in this together, so let's do our part. And if you need someone to talk to or pray with, call the Crown Helpline at 800-722-1976 or visit crown.org/coronavirus. crown.org/coronavirus.
A Moment of Grace with Ed Taylor.
It's never too late to serve the Lord. So don't stand here and condemn yourself for a life that you look back and go, oh, I could have done better. Let me just say and set the record straight. We all could do better. I mean, if the standard for parenting was perfection, which one of us could stand? So we could all do better. That's not the point. The point is this. Now that you know what you know, just understand your kids follow you in your footsteps. And you may have had years and years of just junk. Okay, repent and start to obey the Lord, and your kids will learn to obey the Lord.
For more biblical encouragement to help you grow deeper in your love relationship with Jesus, visit edtaylor.org. Again, that's edtaylor.org. A Moment of Grace with Ed Taylor is a presentation of Calvary Aurora.
Signs of the Times now continues. Here again is your host.
Welcome back to our weekly look at Bible prophecy in the world's news. Signs of the Times for Friday, April 3rd, 2020. This is episode 119. And I'm your host, Greg Hilt, and Pastor Mark Kirk, our senior pastor. Here at Calvary Knoxville is on the other side of the glass, just raring to go through the rest our articles.
Yes, sir.
That are as timely as the Word of God. You know, that's something just so fascinating about God's Word, written so long ago, and it's just on point.
Oh, absolutely. It's eternal.
It's eternal.
It's eternal. It's outside of time. That's why when people say the Bible's outdated, it shows they don't understand the Bible at all. You can't outdate something that's outside of time.
That's a good point. All right, let's get some America articles. Or do I just have one? I think I've just got one. Okay. JPost.com. You know, it's interesting. A lot of times we get news about our own country from the Jewish news services more than we do our own country.
Yeah.
JPost.com reporting that the New York City mayor, Bill de Blasio, has said the following to the synagogues. Close for the coronavirus or shut down permanently.
Yeah, amazing. You know, Mayor Bill de Blasio is not a friend to Christians or to the Lord. We need to pray for him.
Is he like Alexander the Coppersmith?
I think we need to pray for him that he comes to the Lord, but he's very anti-Christ. He's not the Antichrist, but anti-Jesus, I should say, so I don't confuse people.
Right.
And anti-church and anti-this kind of stuff. But anyway, that's what he said. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, again, warned the Jewish community that synagogues... that continue to defy Corona's regulations and hold services will be permanently shut down. First of all, you can't do that. I mean, look how scary this is. I'm not just going to tell you can't meet right now, which really you could argue constitutionally whether you could even say that now, but which he probably can constitutionally on some things. But to say we're going to shut you down forever, you can't do that. I mean, again, this is like not under the U.S. Constitution. It says, while the majority of synagogues have closed in accordance with city orders aimed at slowing the spread of coronavirus by limiting social gathering, others have stayed open. And I quote, we've had extraordinary across-the-board rabbinical support from all the different elements of the Jewish community, and the same is true of other faiths as well, de Blasio said on Friday. Some synagogues, however, are still holding minyanim gatherings of worshipers of 10 or more to hold prayer services. A small number of religious communities, specific churches, and specific synagogues are unfortunately not paying attention to the guidance, even though it's so widespread, de Blasio said. I want to say to all those who are preparing for the potential of religious services that this weekend, if you go to your synagogue, if you go to your church and attempt to hold services after having been told so, after having been told so often not to, our enforcement agents will have no choice but to shut down those services, he warned, however admitting that he does not say this with joy. I understand how important people's faiths are to them, and we need our faith in this time of crisis. Now, again, let me just say this. This is not to attack Mayor de Blasio. I want to keep this neutral. Here's what's interesting to me. We now have leaders in our nation that are bold about making statements like we're going to shut churches and synagogues down forever if they don't do what we say. You know, that's pretty scary and pretty radical. Now we're talking Germany stuff. Now we're talking, you know, not the freedom of America. We're talking dictatorship stuff. And this is the same spirit, Greg, that the Antichrist is going to bring in. De Blasio is not the Antichrist. But this is the same spirit that it comes in. He will one day shut down all churches and say, you can't worship Jesus. You can only worship me. I'm God. So it's that same spirit. And to see this spirit kind of being under a pressure situation, under a time of stress and trial, to see somebody actually say something like that, amazing, scary and amazing. And thank the Lord that he's holding back the move of this until time to move forward. But we need to be on our toes. It's coming, and hopefully we'll be out of here before it does.
Mm-hmm. All right, the world's smorgasbord of sewage things, pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption. This is really interesting.
Yeah.
This is from Yahoo.com, their news source. Rats swarm New Orleans streets as coronavirus precautions leave them empty.
Yeah, precautions put in place, it says, to slow the rise of coronavirus cases in New Orleans has been inadvertently led to a rat problem for the Louisiana city. With restaurants closed, except for takeout, far less food waste is being discarded in the city's alleyways, driving the local rodent population out into the open to search for scraps. Okay?
New Orleans. Oh, my word.
Yeah, New Orleans' famous Mardi Gras celebration brought thousands of tourists to the city, and medical experts believe it might be a big factor for the city's COVID-19 outbreak. Now, with Bourbon Street's famous bars all closed and people social distancing, videos show dozens of rats scurrying through the empty streets. Note this. I turned the corner. There's about 30 rats at the corner. Feasting on something in the middle of the street, Charles Marsala of New Orleans Insider Tour said, and AWE News told the CBS News. Marsala said that he had never seen anything like it before. It made him afraid. He felt like Marsala chicken. No, I added that.
Did you
I'm
add
sorry.
That?
I added
okay,
that. I'm sorry. To control the population, city crews start putting bait in the gutters and placing rat traps throughout the French Quarter neighborhood. New Orleans Mayor LaToya Cantrell said that the rats were going crazy. Now, here's the thing that's amazing about this. We didn't even think about a lot of the unintended consequences.
This is one of them.
Of everything shutting down. But, Greg, not only do we have the coronavirus, now we have a lack of scraps for all the rats who stay in their normal place to get those scraps, and they're going to be coming other places. Well, guess what else travels really wonderfully among the rat population? Plagues. So you've got this whole thing going here. It's like, okay, great, now we're adding more. You know, you don't think about this kind of stuff until the danger kicks in, and now you go, well, now what? You know, look, with America shut down and our businesses shut down and everything shut down, you know, there are certain things that we're not even thinking about right now that not even in our minds that I can't even tell you on the air. But if it happened, we would all go, oh, no, We didn't realize without this, we're in big trouble because of that. So that's another reason. This has got to come to a close quickly. You're going to see people not only going stir crazy, but you're going to see, I think, people can get, so far there's not been any civil unrest. That can't last forever. There's, this has to kind of change. Or again, the cure is worse than the problem. I agree with the president.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we could categorize this as your Matthew 24 update, this next article. This is from the Lexington Herald at Kentucky.com, dated March 30th. And we talked about this, I think, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, whenever it happened on March 18th, yeah. when Utah got hit with a 5.7 magnitude earthquake.
Right.
Now, more than 600 earthquakes have hit since then after that.
Yeah, here's what's amazing. Right before those the 5.7, Greg, and these 600, there were four or five back-to-back in Oklahoma.
In Oklahoma,
so really it started, it's like, again, remember, these are more signs of the last days. The Lord said you'll see earthquakes increasing, and we're watching this.
Exponentially.
It is. Look at this. More than 600 have hit across Utah and surrounding areas after the 5.7 magnitude quake struck near Salt Lake City about 2 weeks ago, according to the University of Utah seismograph stations. As of Monday morning, the University of Utah seismograph stations recorded 658 earthquakes as a part of a series of aftershocks. Now, on March 18th, a 5.7 magnitude struck Magna, west of Salt Lake City. McClatchy News reported the quake was felt from Idaho to California, according to McClatchy News. As of 11 a.m. on March 30th, we've recorded 658 earthquakes as a part of the Magna sequence. The count includes three in the M4 range, 20 in the M3 range, and 122 in the M2 range. And, of course, everyone knows what those ranges are, so you're with me completely. The bottom line is there's lots of earthquakes. And look, here's the thing. When people say, why, Pastor Mark, why do you believe that we really are living in the last days? Haven't lots of pastors said that? A lot of people have said that.
Well, really, the latter days.
Yes, the latter days. Haven't lots said that? Yes, they have. But here's the difference. We've always had earthquakes. We've always had, we've had plagues in the past. We had the 1918, Spanish flu and all this that was way worse than this. It's that everything's happening at one time. You've got this plague. You've got these earthquakes. You've got the locusts that we talked about last week. Now, here's another unintended consequence, Greg. You've got the farmers. If they get sick, where's the food supply go for America and the world? You're talking famine. The Bible says you'll see famines increase in the last days as well. So, I mean, this is could be a snowball thing.
Well, but not only that, and I saw this on the news this morning. Farmers concerned about being able to harvest some of their crops that require labor that they can't bring because of stay-at-home orders.
You can't bring it in. That's
so
right.
The government's going to have to really hone in on that and say, hey, listen, that's essential business.
Yeah. Well, and it will be.
And it will be. But again, you were talking about unintended consequences. We would have never thought that that would have been a consequence.
Well, I don't mean to keep making this scarier, but let me encourage our listeners because I ate some fresh strawberries this morning that were picked out of a field. When you have all those people working the fields and some of them have COVID-19 and they're picking your produce and they send it to the store and you buy it, you better be washing it. Now, I know some of you feel really brave and strong.
Well, that should be good practice anyway.
Well, but I'm saying let's make sure we're washing our fruit and washing our vegetables. Absolutely, guys. Look, don't play with this. Be smart. We're going to be fine. This is going to pass, and I believe it's going to pass sooner than most people think. And one quick comment, Greg, before we move on, because we really covered it in the first half, looking at COVID-19 and looking at, we looked at more of the mark and that kind of tracking of it. But let me add this about this as far as this goes. Look, the spirit of Antichrist. He wants to shut down a capitalistic type approach and get everyone dependent on the government. Because once he takes the government over, guess what that means? Everyone will be dependent on him. He ultimately wants to be the head of it all, the God of the world, everyone looking to him. So you're hearing voices about people saying we need to keep everything shut down for months and months and maybe even through Christmas. Some people are saying now we shouldn't go back to work. He better shut down. That is ridiculous. It is nonsense. It will destroy our nation. And more people would die from that than would die from COVID-19. Because, again, suicides and depression and other unintended consequences. So that would be foolish to do. However, let me say this. When you see that push from the liberal mindset wanting to keep this thing going longer, I don't think they even know where it's coming from. Some of it's motivated by fear. Some of it may be, a lot of it may be motivated by politics and probably is. They know what they want their politics to be. But what they don't realize is there's a spirit behind this. And this spirit is to basically decapitate the world, make it helpless in every way so that the world has to unite and the hero rides in on the white horse. Quite literally, it talks about the Antichrist in Revelation coming as riding on a white horse. Yeah. He will be like the hero of the world. And so this whole socialism push is really an Antichrist push.
You know, when I see that, I always think of what Jesus said on the cross. Forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, they
don't. I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, they don't. They're under the sway of the enemy. Now, they might have a reasoning in their mind for it.
Right.
But it's not the ultimate goal of the enemy, and he's got a whole different agenda than most of these people
For
sure. All right. The church, or really specifically, the Catholic Church, is our article. Under our church category this week, this is from BreakingIsraelNews.com. Pope Francis, being generous, says that Catholics may now confess directly to God without a priest present.
Wow.
Why, how biblical.
Yeah, what a wonderful thing. I really, this is a wonderful thing that here's a lot of good consequences, unintended consequences, but
let's hope it's good consequences.
Well,
yes.
Again, due to the coronavirus restrictions, the Vatican issued a dispensation temporarily dispensing with the need for meeting with a priest to confess sins. The Vatican Tribunal issued a notice last week stating that due to the pandemic, Catholics need not meet with the priest to be given absolution for their sins. This apostolic penitentiary holds that, especially in places most impacted by the pandemic contagion, and until the phenomenon subsides, there are cases of grave necessity. Meeting the criteria for general absolution, the notice about confession said. The apostolic penitentiary is chiefly a tribunal of mercy, responding for issues relating to the forgiveness of sins in the Catholic Church. The decision of what constitutes grave necessity will be left up to the local bishop. Now, here's the thing. No church, Catholic or any other, can forgive sins. There is no one. No one forgives sins but God alone. Even the Pharisees and Sadducees knew that, and they said as such when they got mad at Jesus. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. What that means is, if you want your sins forgiven, you have to go to Jesus, and Jesus alone, and he alone has the authority. No bishop, no priest, no religion has the authority to forgive your sins. The only one that can forgive sins is Jesus Christ. And this is an error that the Catholic Church has been in for many, many years. The bottom line is, if there's anything good out of the coronavirus, at least in this area, that is people are going to run hopefully to the Lord, and hopefully not to Mary, but hopefully to the Lord, because he alone is the one that can forgive sins. I wish this would stay this way forever. It should be pointing people to Jesus. And so, quite ironic.
Well, you know, and as someone myself who grew up Catholic, I'd never heard that phrase before.
What's
the
that?
Apostolic penitentiary. So does that make the Pope like the warden of willful sin? I mean, what is that?
Well, again,
I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, well, I mean, again,
I learn things on this show. I'm so glad I tune in every week.
Yes, yes. You're now locked up. You're locked up in the apostolic penitentiary, life sentence.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It is amazing.
All right. Well, for the time that we have left on today's episode, we have got some good news. And I don't know about you, but I can use all the good news that we can get.
Absolutely.
This first one is from ChristianHeadlines.com, March 30th. If you follow the news, you know this already. As a matter of fact, even most of the mainstream outlets have reported this, that Samaritan's Purse has set up a coronavirus field hospital, really in, what's that big park? Central Park
Central
in New York
park.
City.
Yeah, Samaritan's Purse has deployed an emergency field hospital to New York City as the city struggles with the coronavirus pandemic. And by the way, they're all over the world. They went to Italy. They're there in New York. These guys are great. They came to Nashville. They're all over the world. The International Christian Humanitarian Organization plans to open up a 68-bed field hospital and respiratory care unit. People are dying from the coronavirus. Hospitals are out of beds, and the medical staff are overwhelmed, said Franklin Graham, president of Samaritan's Purse, in a statement. We are deploying our emergency field hospital to New York to help carry the burden. This is what Samaritan's Purse does. We respond in the middle of a crisis. Note this, to help people in Jesus' name, he continued. Please pray for our teams and for everyone around the world affected by the virus. The Samaritan's Purse hospital should be set up early this week. Doctors, nurses, and lab technicians, water and sanitation experts will staff the temporary hospital. This is honestly the most improbable place we've ever been. He told the Post, I never would have guessed we'd come to New York City with something like this, but New York never thought it would be dealing with a pandemic either. Now, a couple of comments about this. These guys go everywhere, and their hearts are as pure as can be. Again, Mayor de Blasio, we talked about him earlier, his aversion to Christ, his aversion to Christians, and his being antagonistic. He is now saying they're sending New York officials to monitor because they think they're going to discriminate. They said they're not going to be treating homosexuals, and they won't be treating, I forget the different ones they said.
Whatever, the LGBTQ.
And he literally is sending down authorities down there to make sure that they don't just take care of the people they want to take care of and kick everybody else out. It is the biggest absurd, ridiculous insult I've ever heard. It's ridiculous. And it just shows, again, I believe that he's upset, Greg, because Jesus is coming into the middle of Central Park. And I think because of that, it's just the enemy basically working through him and people that hate the Lord saying, we don't want Jesus here. Look, even when they're dying, their leaders say, we don't want Jesus here.
Shaking their fists.
But isn't this interesting? This is the second hospital that the Franklin, the Billy Graham family has set up in New York's Central Park. The first one was many years ago when a crusade was held in the park by Billy Graham himself.
Mm.
Hundreds of thousands came, and he gave a spiritual hospital leading people to Christ, and they were saved from their sins and forgiven of the plague of sin, and they received eternal heaven. Now his son has come back ministering to the physical needs of the people, not just the spiritual, but in ministering to the physical needs, the Graham family is still ministering to the spiritual needs of New York City by now bringing the second hospital in, the first one purely spiritual, now this one physical and spiritual, and it's amazing to see how God is using them and that organization. Just a tremendous tremendous honor that God is giving that family and how the legacy they have and what God is doing. New York doesn't even recognize it. Much of New York doesn't, but we do, and it's a tremendous thing. We need to be praying for Franklin Graham, Samaritan's Purse, and for God to continue to show his love to New York City.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You know, here that New York City, for the most part, has just rejected God completely, and yet God still jumps right down the middle of them and says, I love you, I love you, I love you, and I'm going to show you again that I love you. How many will respond? We don't know. We need to be praying they will.
Well, speaking of prayer, Pastor Mark, that's a fantastic segue to our last article of the day. This is from ChristianPost.com. A report out that says Google searches for prayer skyrocket amid the coronavirus outbreak.
Really cool here. Again, the number of searches on Google for the word prayer have greatly increased over the past few weeks as the coronavirus has garnished headlines, according to a research paper. Jeanette Sinding Benson, associate professor at the University of Copenhagen and executive director of the Association for the Study of Religion, Economics, and Culture, released a preliminary draft of a paper on Monday titled, In Crisis We Pray, Religiosity and the COVID-19 Pandemic. Bentzen analyzed internet searches for prayer in 75 countries and reported that search intensity for prayer doubles for every 80,000 new registered cases of COVID-19. In times of crisis, humans have a tendency to turn to religion for stress relief and explanation, they said. The 2020 COVID-19 pandemic is no exception, wrote Benson. I documented that Google searches on prayer have skyrocketed during the month of March 2020 when the COVID-19 went global. Benson found that during March, internet searches for prayer surged to the highest level since the past 5 years for which comparative Google search data is available, surpassing all other major events that otherwise instigate intensified demand for prayer, such as Christmas, Easter, and Ramadan. I find that the intensified searches on prayer during the COVID-19 pandemic is global. It occurs on all continents, and for Christians and Muslims, even Denmark, one of the least religious countries in the world, sees systematic increases in internet searches and prayer. So again, you know, here's another consequence of a worldwide pandemic. People turn to God. This is a wonderful consequence, Greg. You know, we look at what's happening, and oftentimes we get afraid, and we see this big thing happening, and immediately we kind of think of how can we protect ourselves, our family, the people around us, what our needs are, and all that has its legitimate place, so you can't survive. But we don't think about, God, what are you doing? What are you doing, Lord, worldwide? And from the very beginning, I could just see God is now, I believe, purifying the church. He's challenging the church to repent and get pure. And he's also drawing the world in, even where we see some of these world leaders like Prince Charles and others that the world knows saying that went through this. Prince Charles had, you know, coronavirus, saying things like, you know what, we need to focus more on faith. We need to focus more on this and that. And it's drawing people to him. So I believe God is using it not only to purify the church, but to draw people in very possibly for the last days in gathering before the rapture of the church. And it's great to see this happening. People, they have questions. They're seeking. They're searching. And it might be, I think, a good time to even let people know all the things we're offering here at Calvary again. But, you know, I want to make sure people know what we're doing. We are having our regular Sunday morning service. Now, it is being repeated throughout the day. It's repeated twice in the morning, or once in the morning. We have two times in the morning and the same service there at night at 6 o'clock. And then on Wednesday night, we have another live service, 7 o'clock, with worship and teaching. And then on Tuesdays now at 1:30, we're having special events. We're having a special a live radio stream and video stream. We're going to be ministering to Freedom Senior, a group here in Seymour, and just giving them a message of encouragement straight to them, as well as other times on Tuesdays at 1:30, just talking about topics, issues, encouraging the body of Christ.
As the Lord leads.
Yeah, as the Lord leads. So, again, just know that we have these availabilities for you. Of course, our radio show every Friday. And if you need anything from us, if you need, you know, prayer, let us know. It's just good to stay connected with the body of Christ. And we're going to continue to offer that, as well as I know many other churches in not just our community, but around the world.
On our Wednesday night study, Pastor Mark, you're in the Old Testament. I believe we've been in Nehemiah.
Yep.
I think we were just in Nehemiah 7 or 8.
Yes.
This past Wednesday. And let's talk about all the times and during Nehemiah's time, although he was coming back to desolation to rebuild the city. But there's lots of examples in the Old Testament when God's people rebelled and God sent the chastisement in whatever form or fashion that was.
Yeah.
And the result of that, and is there anything that might come to your mind as you think about those Old Testament accounts that would be applicable to what we're going through right now and what we can glean from the people's response as they responded? You know, it's almost like when a parent chastises a child. And if you're a parent, then you know why you're doing that. And the child doesn't necessarily know, but if you're doing it in the right way, the child's going to understand the purpose of the correction.
Yes.
And it's not, and they don't take, and it's not because they're hated or something like that. And it's the same thing with God and his people, us as his kids. God will chastise depending on what the situation is. Now, this is a little bit different in the fact that this is what we look at as a prophetic event globally, because this is happening to the whole world, regardless if you're a believer or not.
Yeah.
So,
well, I do want to encourage our listeners.
Yeah.
You know, I put out a short video, and we do have a series of videos. If you go to Calvary Chapel, Knoxville, and look for those.
CalvaryKnoxville.org.
CalvaryKnoxville.org. And put some, but I want to share with you one that I share that I know we haven't shared here on the radio, but I think it's very, very appropriate to this. And that is when God was sending the plagues on Egypt, and I'm not saying this is a plague sent by God that we're going through now. We don't know for sure what it is. But when God was sending the plagues on Egypt, notice what it says that happened to the people. It says, this is out of chapter 10, verse 21. The Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt. You almost feel the darkness in our nation.
Yeah, yeah.
And darkness which may even be felt. Isn't that interesting? Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness on the land of Egypt 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Notice what it says here. Everyone stayed in their homes. They didn't get out and intermingle. There was darkness in the land. They had to stay confined. And yet, even though the believers were confined like everyone else, they had light in their homes. God made a difference between the unbeliever and the believer, between the world and the Christian. And God said, I'm going to make sure that my spirit, my peace, my light, my joy is there, even during the midst of this dark time on the earth and what's happening for everyone else while they're confined to their homes. Here's the application. I think it's pretty clear, but for everyone listening, while we're confined to our homes, remember, the world doesn't have hope. They don't know Jesus. They don't have this relationship and this connection to God. But we do. We have, during this time of darkness, during this time of confinement to our homes, we have light in our homes. We have Jesus. We can read the word. We can share the word. We can pray. We can have live streaming and services and worship in our homes. So bring the light of Jesus into your home. Open up those avenues for the teaching. Open up the avenues for the streaming of worship and praise. And let God's light shine, because while the world was fearful and afraid, because the darkness was real, those that had light in their homes that were following God were not afraid, because they had his light. In the same way, although we may have darkness around us, if we have the light of Jesus, we have hope. Call out to Jesus. He will be your light in this time and in every time. And I hope you'll do that even now.
Absolutely. Pastor Mark, thank you so much. Folks, thesigns.org, where you can listen to this show again. You can share it with a family member or a friend. Listen to previous episodes. You can read the articles that we discuss. You can subscribe to our podcast on a variety of sources. And you can always send Pastor Mark your prophecy questions, because we always like getting those. Have a great weekend at home, and we'll see you back here next Friday for more Signs of the Times.